the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hey, who wants to be disturbed? Go to SarahXDillon.com. That's SarahXDillon. Go to SarahXDillon.com. It took me a long time to come around on this guy. I was just dug in and hated Marilyn Manson on principle for so long. But, you know, I've really come to admire the fact that he has a good sense for it. He has a good flair for the theatrical. He looks like the rabbit from Donnie Darko.
He does, sort of.
He does look like Frank, you're right.
It's pretty smart, though. He's done. It's kind of a reverse, and it sounds terrible, but it's like a reverse blackface kind of a thing. But that doesn't really do it justice. It's that with a pair of mouse ears. I know that doesn't
And then,
really,
like, nail teeth.
It doesn't make it sound as unnerving as it really is. Go to SarahXDillon.com, and then right below that...
This is the picture I've been trying to get you to look at for weeks, okay. That you thought it was just, like, some naughty picture.
Here's the thing. And then we'll talk about this, then we'll do the news hour, and then people are calling with barbecue bone thoughts. Here's the thing. At SarahXDillon.com, there's this really creepy picture of Marilyn Manson. It's a photo for his upcoming album. And then right below that, there's a picture of Marilyn, of Michelle Trachtenberg, who was Harry the Spy, and she was Dawn on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah, for the longest time, was like, you've got to see this picture of Michelle Trachtenberg. And I was just like, I'm not looking at that, because I figured it was just going to be another one of your weird Rick is a creepy, lecherous old man photos, where it was like her in some glistening T-shirt that you wanted me to look at. So I could be unnerved, and so I could be like, oh, you know, how old is that? And then you'd spring it on me and go, aha, she's 12, you know, or whatever. She got lip Botox, so I didn't want to look at it. I did see the picture today, this Michelle Trachtenberg photo that's at SarahXDillon.com. It's totally safe for work. There's nothing sexual about it at all. I don't know what's going on with her head and her body there. It really is.
I still can't figure out what direction she's facing.
It is like in the cartoon when somebody gets punched in the face while they're in a boxing ring and their head just goes and spins around and lands. Like when the Daffy Duck would say, like, rabbit season! And then his bill would spin around. That's what it looks like happened to Michelle Trachtenberg's head. And it's just odd. It's all wrong, and it's all at some weird angle and whatnot. There's no way to describe it. So I would.
I still can't tell which side is her back and which ones are front.
I can't describe how bizarre. And it's clearly not altered or photoshopped. I can't tell what the hell is going on with her body. So just go look at this photo.
She's kind of like in the fetal position, but missing a knee.
Not a knee, that's her shoulder.
It's funny how that explains everything and nothing all at once.
From a long distance, it looks like a knee.
That does kind of look like a knee.
Okay. Real quickly, let's find out about the sleigh grilling. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Yeah, you can get rid of bones on a grill. That's probably what the bad smell was. You know, if I did own a sleigh grill, though, I'd probably, like, boil the head and bones down to, like, a thick broth inside the house, you know?
Theoretically speaking.
Yeah, anyway, later.
Yeah, okay. Tom realized he had said too much.
He's the Rick Emerson New News from AM 970 Pollard State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
This just in from our neighbors to the north in Canada. A woman has become violently ill after eating some of her dog's food. It's the case that could be related to the tainted pet food that killed hundreds of several dogs and cats across Canada and the U.S. We don't know if the dog itself ate the food, but the lady did. So, meanwhile, in local news, a lady from Longview has inherited the Jell-O fortune. She's worth zillions. Apparently, Elizabeth McNabb, we don't know if she's related to Bob or not. We should give him a call and find out if we knew where to find him. She is the heir to the $10 million Jell-O fortune.
Speaking of boiling down bones and skulls.
Her great-grandfather, Francis Woodland, invested in Jell-O 100 years ago. McNabb is 51. She tried for 14 years to discover the identity of her birth mother. According to the New York Post, McNabb says she was prepared to find that her birth mother might be a bag lady. Well, not so. When McNabb met her mother, Barbara Peale of Rochester, New York, she learned her great-great-grandfather, Francis Woodward, plunked down $450 in 1899 to buy stock in Jell-O. When Peale died in July 2003, trustee Fleet Bank named McNabb apparently the inheritor. So she's worth $10 million and lives in Longview.
It seems like you ought to be worth more than that if you're the heir to the Jell-O. Is the Jell-O fortune really only $10 million?
Well, what are the Jell-O fortunes, apparently?
Is it split among many Jell-O heirs?
It might be. It doesn't really say.
You know, I have this whole thing about gelatin, but nobody cares. I know the whole history of pectin-based products.
Please, enlighten
me. No, I'm not going to. No one really cares. that's one of those things I can sense when I'm entering full Agler mode, when I'm opening my mouth and I'm... Well, let me tell you the entire history of Jell-O, which is a thing that certain people enjoy. I know that others do not. Others merely find it tedious. So I'm going to steer myself off of that off-ramp there. Except to say that the, as I always have to point out when we talk about Jell-O, that they consume more of it in Utah than anywhere else. And it is true, though, that other places outside of Utah, and I'm looking at you, Catholic communities, nobody eats Jell-O like Catholics, man. You go to those potlucks, and it's always why would you think? First of all, gelatin is weird. I don't know anybody who has teeth who finds Jell-O to be an interesting and edible product, something that you would actively... Like, you ever go to somebody's house, and there's Jell-O in the cupboard, and you're like, why do you own this? Unless you're serving it, unless there's someone...
I thought you weren't doing the tedious Jell-O conversation.
Meow.
I want to hear the tedious
this Jell-O. Was a different... Jesus, okay. Well, never mind.
No, I do.
No.
I'm very interested.
No. You'll never know now.
Please.
You'll die unsatisfied.
Oh, no.
F you all. Go ahead. Move along with you. Move along with your news, Mr. Newsman.
No, I want to hear the Jell-O story.
No, I've been vetoed. That's okay. I've been shouted down from the gallery.
Well, we heard it at a later time.
Nope.
Then.
Nope.
Is this a tease for a future?
No, it's never going to be
what
revealed.
A tease it is.
My Jeff,
there's
going to be a barbecue Jell-O story there somewhere.
My Jell-O observations will heretofore remain sealed to all the world.
Well, then let's talk about surgery for a beloved orangutan.
Okay.
Ingy, the Oregon Zoo's orangutan matriarch, is recovering from surgery. The primate, known for her Super Bowl and Civil War predictions, had her gallbladder removed yesterday. Before the procedure, officials said the 47-year-old was in outstanding health and was in discomfort because of gallstones. Well, Ingy is back in her holding pen and doing well. A full recovery is suspected. Ingy has been at the Oregon Zoo longer than any other animal.
Somebody, I forget who it was. We were talking about this story yesterday. Was it the
well, it was the pre-operation
orangutan with the gun. Somebody pointed out that, you know, there are actual American humans who need health care at this point, who actually might need surgery for something.
So what? We hear about Ingy, the Oregon Zoo orangutan. The risk can wait.
If poor people can learn to correctly predict the Super Bowl, do you think they could get health care?
Jesus. All right. In other news, a landslide along Burnside in Northwest has, well, whittled traffic down to two lanes, and it's going to take months to fix the problem.
Of course, everything on Burnside takes months to fix.
If you want action, you better be an orangutan with gallstones. The slide developed when a wall fractured by ongoing rain began to crumble. According to the city, rocks as big as 24 inches in diameter tumbled down onto the busy roadway. Nobody got hurt, though. Concrete barricades will extend 5 to 6 feet into traffic lanes and will cut down on traffic. Apparently, this is at Burnside and Northwest 24th.
When the walls come tumbling down, blah, 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 ha, ha, ha.
I didn't think that was a joke at all.
No, it's the Mellencamp that they... No, it doesn't matter. Where is it? Burnside and what?
24th.
Well, screw them. I don't care about them. That's so far away from where I live. I don't care. What would I ever conceivably be on Burnside and 24th for?
You could be on your way to 23rd.
Well, like I need to go to that Moonstone chocolate place and pay like $100 for a truffle.
Oh,
I don't think
on
so.
On the west side?
Isn't that what it is? Burnside and Northwest 24th.
Oh, yeah.
F them. I don't care about them.
I like that.
What, like I'm going to be there to take my goddamn child to the rock and roll camp for children? No, thank you. I mean, really.
Where did that come from?
No, that's what's always in that part of town.
There are many restaurants there.
Yeah,
dining experiences. Many moderately priced.
You know, the only
thing. There's a great dessert place.
I'm sorry. Perhaps I've struck a nerve. Perhaps I've struck a nerve culturally with here inside the Rick Emerson studio. The Rick Emerson studio is home to people who go to all different parts of town, I imagine. I'm simply speaking for myself and saying, since I do not wish to purchase tiny, overpriced consumer goods, nor do I have some screeching
that
child...
That's only one store. Many others.
I don't have any caterwauling offspring that need to go buy something that says the Wiggles on the front of it. I have no need to go to Northwest. So the only thing in Northwest I can care about is Super Digital, like blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks away from there. That's all I care about. This email says, I must know about all things gelatin. Now! Well, it's never going to happen. Never. In fact, as we speak, I am deleting my mental gelatin file. That's a phrase that's never been spoken by anybody before in all of human history. And it's gone. Now not even I know about gelatin now. It's gone.
Just talk about
Jell-O. Nope. Here's Tim Riley.
He's a Sun Coo Kim wannabe. Police in Washington state holding a man suspected of stealing as many as 1,500 pairs of women's undergarments. The evidence spills five garbage bags weighing 93 pounds. One commander in the town of Pullman said the suspect has a problem.
Yeah, what do you think?
Apparently, 24-year-old Garth Flattery was taking underwear from two laundry rooms in an apartment complex. Now police are concerned about matching the goods to the victims. How is that possible?
Oh, I know.
One wondered, would you really want them back?
Well, he must have been... Well, that doesn't make any sense. What? I cannot believe I am now saying this phrase.
I want women's underwear from Pullman, said he.
Is it in Pullman?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these are college. These are co-ed. This is co-ed underwear.
Oh, is this?
Is that all the school in Pullman, Sarah?
I did.
All right. So there you just there, but for the grace of God and the calendar, go ye. This man could have had your underwear in a bag. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but what's the point of stealing women's underwear if they've already been cleaned? Right? Isn't that the thing with these guys? Right? Otherwise, he would just go to the store and buy brand new underwear. It seems if you are this, quit looking at me like I'm the one thinking this.
You are the one thinking this.
It's just like I'm Profiler when they try to put themselves in the criminal shoes. I'm saying if you're some nutcase who stole, how many garbage bags worth? Three?
Five garbage bags weighing 93 pounds. 1,500 pairs of women's undergarments.
He's stolen 1,500 pairs of women's underwear, undergarments, from Pullman laundromats. Clearly, I mean, you would steal them before they were washed, right? If you're some if you're some skis. Otherwise, why wouldn't you just go to the store and just buy brand new ones? I'm not digging myself in. Quit making this shovel gesture. I'm speculating. Mm. And plus, they're saying that they're trying to match the underwear to the owners. Well, how are you going to do that?
Some may have names on them.
Oh, that's true. Do people still do that when they go to college? Do you still write your name on the inside of your underwear when you go to school? I thought that was a thing that only happened in 1950s films. Well, anyway, I'm just saying he could just go to Sears and buy himself some underwear and there's no need to steal anything.
I suppose.
Am I making everybody uncomfortable?
No, not at all.
Kristen's pointing out that I used the phrase mental gelatin. Should have said, Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, Rick?
Oh, I suppose that depends on who you ask. How can I help you, sir?
You sound like you're in a little crappy mood today, but...
Look, you son of a bitch. I'm in a perfectly fine... No, that was ironic. I really am in a great mood. I want to say this because some people accuse me sometimes of being in a bad mood when I am. I am not. I am in a perfectly fine mood. I am absolutely fine.
I was wondering, what's your dislike with the West Side?
Oh, I see. That's where this is coming from. Do you live on the West Side?
Yes, sir. I live in Sherwood.
Well, where is Sherwood? Where is that?
Sherwood.
Oh, I was going Sherwood.
Well, that was a small town down by Spearmont Casino.
Oh, I see.
That's where the federal prison is.
How proud
no,
you must...
that's Sheridan.
Oh, what is Sherwood?
Sherwood is right next to Tigers in Boston.
Oh, all right. I understand. What was your question, sir?
But I was just wondering, because you were saying anything on the West Side was... Or I don't exactly... I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but something about the West Side, you didn't take it.
Well, it wasn't the West Side as such, but when we were describing, if I said the entire West Side, that wouldn't be true.
No, you're saying Northwest 23rd.
Yeah, we're on the West Side right now. I was simply speaking about Northwest 23rd and the surrounding areas there. Seriously, have you ever taken a good long look at the people that are on the streets of Northwest 23rd at any given moment? I mean, seriously.
I try not to stay away from that area.
It's like being trapped in some hideous version of a Candace Bushnell novel. You know what I mean? Walking around, looking around, just going, why am I here? Why? It's fine. I go to Northwest 23rd occasionally because my wife, who I love, will drag me there.
Are there peacocks over there?
No, probably. No, she'll take me there. And
there are in the hills.
She'll take me there, and the people on Northwest 23rd are always, like, prettier than I will ever be, richer than I will ever be, dressed better than I will ever be dressed, wearing special clothing that I don't have access to that they sell at special stores that are just for people. It's like you have to... There's this rumor in Hollywood. There's this urban legend that goes around Hollywood that when you... become a star, they give you this special credit card, and it's called a black card, like a gold card or a platinum card, but it's a black card, and it has like a $1 billion limit or something, and you could buy like
unlimited.
Yeah, you could buy like an island or something. I always get the feeling that if you live like in the West Hills, or if you live somewhere around like 23rd, that they give you something like that, and you suddenly get slipping into the Diagon Alley place in Harry Potter. Suddenly you have access to all kinds of special stores that we commoners don't have access to. And so my wife has accused me in the past of having what she refers to very politely as class issues, which I suppose now, given a preponderance of the evidence, might be true. I'm simply saying when I walk through that part of town, it's like the one and only time that I went to a Christmas party at a country club. It's just an overwhelming feeling of, I don't belong here.
You feel that you're out of place.
Yes, that is true. That's a polite way to put that, sir.
All right, Rick. Well, thank you. I enjoy listening to your show, and you always make my day.
Thank you, my friend.
Complete.
All right. Well, you call me anytime.
All right. Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Steve.
Well, my rotunda is not a gated area. Anyone can walk through.
No, it's not. You know, here's the thing about that. I don't wish to get into a groove here with this whole thing. I don't want to wear.
We're all going
to
be dining in that area soon.
I don't want to wear a groove into the carpet. Really? Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
We're going out to lunch.
Do we have a new client who's there?
Yes, we do.
On 23rd?
Right off the 23rd.
Well, I'm sure there are fines, but somebody else paying?
I hope so.
Well, there you go.
And it's I'm not going.
Then it's all set. The thing about that area of town is, what was my point? I had some other points.
It's not overpriced and expensive. I dine there often.
I don't know. It's like they don't need to put a gate around 20. I don't know why I'm singling out 23rd. Here's a question, by the way. If you live in 23rd, what is the 20? This is a phrase you'll never hear again. I was going to say, what's the 23rd of Southeast Portland? There really isn't one. I was going to say, what is the inverse of that? Like, what is the place, like, on the other side of Portland that people on 23rd go, well, you don't want to go to that street?
Is it Hawthorne Boulevard, do you think?
Probably not, because Hawthorne's the closest thing Southeast has to 23rd, I think.
Yeah.
I'm saying
very trendy.
Well, you're saying completely opposite.
I'm saying, what is the inverse?
82nd?
Is 82nd?
I would say so.
What is the inverse 82nd of Northwest 23rd?
Near Powell.
Yeah, 82nd in Foster Road?
Maybe. That's a good question. We'll take a little...
I mean, that's where all living things die.
that should be their slogan in that community. Where life ends. Kristen, we'll go ahead and take a little... We might do a little Insta poll on this. What street is the opposite? What is the inverse of Northwest 23rd?
It has to be 82nd, because you drive for miles and miles and wondering if it's ever going to get better, and it just doesn't.
No, and you're right, and it never does.
No.
It's an endless swath of gray and misery. I don't mean to sound like I'm singling out Northwest 23rd. I'm sure there's other streets filled with people I hate.
About the Pearl District?
That's
full of the hoiful law.
Oh, no, it's true. No, I hate a lot of people there, too.
Can't even find the parking space to go into Powell's anymore.
The thing about Northwest 23rd is it's not a gated street or a gated community. They don't need a gate. It's like an understood, implied gate. It's like am I the only one that gets this feeling? Like, sometimes I'll be walking. I apologize that I'm interrupting the news hour with my stupid ramblings. But am I the only one that gets this feeling? Like, you're walking down Northwest 23rd, and every time I walk by somebody, I get the feeling that they're sort of looking at me. They're looking at me the way that Rose's mother looked at Jack Dawson. Just a whole lot of, like, so, tell us of the accommodations and steerage, you know? And I'm sorry. I don't know what fork to use. You know, and then I just start crying and go back to Southeast Portland.
I have never cried dining on 23rd. Nor have I seen anyone else cry or...
Just Rick wandering the streets alone.
I'm so glad that this program represents all walks of life. All right. I'm just going to... Okay, well, let's do one more, and let's take some of these calls. Here's
one
Tim
more
Ryan.
What?
I don't know. One more of these news stories we used to do. I'm sorry, I feel like an ass.
No, don't. All right. These have all been thoughtful conversations.
Well, we are relatable and local.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of do point and counterpoint without even meaning to do so.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
In the meantime, hand back stories of people dying and whatnot.
Would you like me to go to the phones instead?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Can it be kind of a buffer between this and that?
Between one death and another? All right.
this would not be a good transitional time.
I'm choking on something. All right.
Once we look to the outside world, things are even less rosy than they are seemingly here.
All right. I'm just going to take these. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Okay. Andy, go ahead.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for an Andy. What's your name?
Andy. All
right, okay.
All right, thank you. I needed that. Hey, the inverse of Northwest 23rd is your house.
Okay, thanks, ass. I appreciate that. That is pretty funny, though, and probably true.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What street is the inverse of Northwest 23rd? Hello? Okay. And I hung up on somebody. Oh, I did it again. Oh, hello? Oh, damn it. Oh, and I think I hung up on two people in a row. I don't even know if there's somebody here. My big fat...
I said it was a successful Instapoll.
My big... Shut up! Just shut your mouth.
Rick, what are you doing with your life?
My big fat fingers, I swear to God, my fingers are so fat, I hit two lines simultaneously and then, like, all sorts of things, hit the drop button and I hung up on everybody. That's how big and fat my fingers are. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Now, for the love of God. Well, that was fantastic. A flawlessly executed bit, as always. It is that kind of broadcasting excellence and zeal that sets the Rick Emerson Show apart from other TV... Thank you. Thanks so much for that. We're going to take a break. But you were calling. Why are you calling now? Fine. Taking a break now. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show coming up later on. CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath from Los Angeles. We'll also talk to Steve Kasimov coming up later on. If you go to rickemerson.com, you'll see this guy in Southeast who built this. They're selling this. It's a movie set. It's the interior of a spaceship, complete with a swiveling gun turret, captain's navigator stations, screen monitors. Anyways, guys, they built it themselves. They use it for a movie. Right now it's set up in the guy's yard in Southeast Portland. So we're going to have him on later on today to talk about that. All right, 503-733-2970. We'll get some of these calls here in a second. At the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
Well, people who work at the White House are deeply saddened by the news that presidential spokesman Tony Snow has suffered a recurrence of cancer. Deputy White House spokeswoman Dana Perino told reporters the shocking news.
Tony called us this morning and informed us that despite all of our best hopes and expectations that his doctors unfortunately learned that the growth was cancerous and there has been some metastases, including to the liver.
Well, fortunately, Tony Snow has health care.
Well, he's back with the same team of doctors that anyone could afford.
I know that he's working with the same doctors, at least a core of the same doctors that he worked with before. And so obviously they were successful in their first attempts to beat it back those couple of years ago. I think it was just last month that he had reached the 2-year mark of being cancer-free.
The tumor is very small.
He said that it was about the size of the tip of his pinky finger.
Okay. Well, there you go. Still kill you dead, though.
President Bush said Snow called him from the hospital this morning to explain the diagnosis.
It's a recurrence of a cancer that he thought they had successfully dealt with in the past. His attitude is one that he is not going to let this whip him, and he's upbeat. My attitude is that we need to pray for him and for his family.
Why don't you pray he'll go to a doctor? Why don't you know? Here's the thing. If you ever see me bleeding by the side of the road, why don't you call 911? I don't mean that. I'm not trying to knock, quote, people of faith. But his idea that he's going to, you know, work at it and go to the doctor, and put up against your idea that you're going to go home and think about it for a while. I'll take, as Woody Allen once said, between air conditioning and the Pope, I'll take air conditioning. So there you go. Well, I'm sure that Tony Snow has access to the same health care that, as Tim said, that is available to all Americans. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that everybody would have the ability to seek the same fine physical care that Tony Snow is able to avail himself of.
Former Chief of Staff Andrew Carr said the White House is not replacing Snow.
Tony is unique. He does a fabulous job, and we want to get him back. But the most important thing for him is to get healthy.
darn. You know, why does anybody ever... I don't mean to sound morbid, but I guess that ship has already sailed this week with the bone burning in the Jonestown yesterday. The... Oh, and I apologize to the people who asked me about that place that sells serial killer merchandise. I forgot to send the link out. I'll put it on my site later today. There's like an eBay for, or eBay, as Don Geronimo would say, for serial killer stuff. I don't know why anybody ever says, this is like in a Vietnam movie where you're like, look at this picture of my girl back home. You got her. I've never seen my daughter. I ship out tomorrow. You're going to get a bullet in the back of the head as soon as you say that. It's like being in some cop movie. 2 days from retirement, bam, one dead cop. As soon as you say out loud, I think I've got this cancer beat. Can we just all agree now that no one ever has cancer beat ever, ever, ever? The most that cancer will do is just get tired and decide to leave you alone for a while. I don't mean to be a big buzzkill. But, I mean, if I ever get cancer, I'm just gonna buy my gravestone and write my obituary then. Because cancer just, it just decides to take a break now and again. I don't think it ever really stops killing you. It just, I think it just sort of goes on holiday now and again. Here's, this pick-me-up is, today's bright ray of sunshine for the Rick Emerson Show.
Tony Snow isn't going anywhere yet.
Uh-huh.
Nobody can replace Tony Snow, so it's not that we are looking to replace Tony Snow, but he has a very able assistant in Dana Perino, who is doing a very good job, and they've come to learn Tony's style, and I think they've learned some tricks of their own to follow him.
Yeah, nobody can replace Tony Snow, just like Tony Snow could never replace what's-his-name. And then the guy...
Whatever happened to him?
And then the guy before him. And then the dude before that. I don't even remember who Tony Snow replaced.
That was the bald-headed guy.
It wasn't Ari Fleischer.
Yeah.
Was it Ari Fleischer?
Yeah.
All right. Ari Fleischer, and then Ari Fleischer himself, I believe, replaced somebody, but I don't remember who.
So no.
Oh, man, they're all one of a kind, though.
Break them all.
Meanwhile, John Edwards, back on the campaign trail, said voters will now have to evaluate his ability to focus and make decisions.
I think one of the ways to evaluate it is to, starting last Thursday, what my ability is to focus and to make decisions, both on the campaign trail and judgments about where America needs to go.
He wants to pull out some 40 to 50,000 troops immediately and have the rest out by the end of the year.
The only solution is for the Sunni and the Shia to reach a political reconciliation. How do we shift the responsibility to them? The most effective way to do that is to make it clear that we're not going to continue to prop them up.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Navy is beginning its largest demonstration of force in the Persian Gulf since the 2003 invasion of Iraq, led by a pair of aircraft carriers and backed by warplanes. We know how much shock and awe scares all those people in those parts of the world now, don't we? It's bringing together two strike groups of U.S. warships and more than 100 U.S. warplanes. Even the French are participating. What do you know? They have a ship, and they're going to send some French people out there. In the meantime, the Brits say they're running out of patience with the people held hostage, so we'll find out what happens with that. Meanwhile, there are some other things going on here, and one has to do with the top model television program. Another aspiring beauty has been eliminated from the CW's America's Next Top Model. Last episode, 19-year-old Houston native Felicia was cut off of the competition due to her lack of development.
Oh.
The sales associate says she saw it coming.
It was the worst feeling in the world because, especially when I had no thought of it, like, I seriously thought, okay, my picture, I had to have gotten a good shot because Jay gave me such good comments.
She just didn't have enough moxie.
The girl is...
She sounds really...
deeply stupid.
Yeah, she sounds like a
mess. This is modeling.
Well, that's actually why she got cut, because she couldn't understand any of the direction that Tyra was giving.
I could be with the birdies. Yeah, seriously. What happened? Directions are taking a goddamn pitch. Stand still. Stick out your boobs. There you go. Don't move. Leave. That's it. When you can't understand direction being given to you by Tyra Banks, I mean, it's... Really, it's not like you're being asked to, you know, to solve, you know, like Zeno's paradox or something. I mean, stand there. I could barely understand what she was saying in that soundbite, though, because she thinks... Right there. The lack of development. Is that code for something, Sarah?
I don't think so. Well, she wasn't catching on as quickly as the other.
Oh, I thought they meant that perhaps she was not...
She was a little slower.
She was very slow.
I thought maybe they meant she was just flat or something.
No.
All right.
It really wasn't explained why she was eliminated, and that has her concerned.
I really can't answer on behalf of the judges because I have no clue what they thought, what they were thinking. And obviously, like, I don't agree with it at all because me getting eliminated...
You have a rat to ask what you agree with.
so unfair.
Yeah, 15 minutes is over.
Yeah, I was just saying, the good news is an hour from now, no one's going to remember who you are, so don't worry about it. Just sort of smile and move on. Oh, apparently he wasn't Ari Fleischer. It was Scott McClellan.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I mean. Apparently they're all very irreplaceable. They're all one of a kind. Fantastic. Let's see. It's 503-73-blah-blah-blah. What is the number? 503-733-2970. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, a Georgia jury this morning recommended a sentence of life in prison without parole for convicted antifreeze murderer Lynn Turner. Turner was convicted on Saturday.
Turner?
Killing her firefighter boyfriend, Randy Thomas, with antifreeze.
Randy?
It's a possible death sentence. 3 years ago, Turner was convicted of using antifreeze in the poisoning death of her husband.
I don't think, and I'm just speaking for myself, and I think the jury made the right decision, and we just feel much better about this.
That's the father of the deceased.
This is Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there, sir.
Hello there. Is the universe in Northwest 23rd, Southeast 136th and Powell, where there's two strip clubs, two convenience stores, and a vacant lot?
I'm thinking Powell and 136th. What are the strip clubs?
The Palace, Sugar Daddy's, there's a Plaid Pantry, there's a Payday Loans right there.
I'm not even sure that I don't know that I've ever been to that intersection and noted it.
Well, if you go down, 122nd, a couple of blocks off 122nd, like, across the street from the Safeway, there's kind of like the Dirt Mall is right there. And then keep going past that, and there were some, like, hotel/apartments that they closed down due to meth production, and there's quite a few hookers down there.
I always wonder about those hotels that you can live at by the week. Like, there's, Kristen is noting that the Double Dribble is there. They have topless servers, she says.
Yeah, I haven't ever frequented those, but I have to pass by them when I go to work daily.
You know, speaking of that part of town in general, you know what's a really, really, really trashy part of town? And I say this as, again, it's like...
St. John's.
It's not, well, there's St. John's, but I'm saying specifically, there's... Because Sarah and I used to have to go there once a week. It was not St. John's. Like Stark and about 160th. Where Victory Bingo is.
That was bad.
When we were off the air the last time.
Let's not even talk about that. I can't even bring myself to tell people what we did.
When we were off the air, Sarah and I
had a project.
I won't name the project
because company.
I don't want to sully some of the folks who were involved.
There's a lovely Quonset hut.
It was
right there at 162nd and Stark in Southeast.
Yeah.
That big complex that used to have a grocery store, but then they moved it out, and it's just a big shell of a building where they sell secondhand clothes in foreign languages.
It's like a huge swap meet.
Yeah, we go to the bingo hall out there. It was a bingo hall / church. There's a church in the back of it.
Well, that is convenient.
You're on Stark, and if you get off the freeway at Stark, past 122nd, you lock the doors till you get out past Gresham.
No, it's true. It's like driving through Chernobyl, where you just close your ventilation system and drive as fast as your car will go for the next 40 miles.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, one last thing.
Yes, sir.
Listener Party 10, what smells like shoe polish?
Hey, that's funny. All right, thank you.
And then you could give out, the 10th anniversary DVD there as the Listener Party 10 door prize.
That's not a bad idea. All right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. There you go. Somebody suggested Listener... that's a Clerks reference. Somebody suggested Listener Party X like a Malcolm X to kill Whitey. Rick, Listener Party 10, kill Whitey. I would love to see them go to sponsors with that. I'm almost tempted to call them...
See that on the marquee.
I'm almost tempted to do it just to see the sales department putting together their packages. Just to see them, the AEs out there. How do you make fail about a run of station package for Listener Party 10, kill Whitey? Rick, I grew up on Mount Tabor, and I'm still a huge fan of Southeast. I'm sorry to see Sabalos go. Any street further east of 82nd could be 23rd's polar opposite. Everyone knows that the wall needs to be constructed one block east of 82nd so we can still enjoy the best White Trash Avenue circus in Portland, but that's as far as anybody needs to come in or go out. Pick a side, says this email. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of
Maybe they can construct like a massive catwalk.
So you can look down.
You take pictures. So have those telescopes that you put a quarter in.
Sir, here's
a 82nd.
Please do not feed the residents of... Please do not feed the residents of Southeast. Oh, good God. Rockwood, this guy says. Highest crime rate in the state and the city. Let's see. It's an asshole. this guy. This is all kinds of weird characters going on this evening. Where's Rockwood? I don't even know where that is.
I've never even heard of that.
Let's see. How about this? When I first moved to Portland, I knew nothing about the different neighborhoods and ended up renting an apartment on Gleason and 23rd. It was the worst 18 months of my life. At the presumably Northwest. At that time, I also got a job at one of the fine establishments that do their business on the bustling Northwest 23rd Roadway. And you're completely right about that area. It's generally a bunch of women with blonde hair and ponytails pushing $5,000 strollers with their properly accessorized babies peeking out. The guys are all hipster clowns in black leather jackets. It's an awful, awful place. Let's see. Rick, the inverse of Northwest 23rd is McLaughlin Boulevard in Milwaukee. Strip clubs, dives, and CD game exchange. Strip clubs, dives. Wait, is that right? Are they in McLaughlin? They are.
Where is this?
There's one place in Boulevard in Milwaukee. Biscuits and gravy breakfast.
Is that Buster's? Buster's is right there. Buster's Barbecue. This guy's Mark. That's the guy from Britain. I mean, there's got to be some... never mind. Let's see what else do we have here. Yeah, I'm just going to skip most of these for now. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Miss USA, we got a brand new one. She succeeds the embattled Miss USA of 2006, Tara Conner, almost lost her title in December after rumors of hard partying ways surfaced. They weren't rumors, they were true. This Miss USA comes from Tennessee. She's Rachel Smith and holds herself to the highest possible standards imaginable.
My motto in life is, to whom much is given, much is expected. And so
that's really profound.
My driving force in all of this and where I would like to keep my focus. I have high expectations and standards for myself.
That was written and memorized.
Who is that?
That's Miss USA, the brand new one.
Okay. Remind me to never care about that again.
Well, she was offered some words of advice when crowned.
She advised me on, keeping my receipts and keeping up with my expenditures.
Keeping your receipts?
That's good advice.
That sounds like a glamorous life right there.
I am all this
should your accountant ask?
My personality to the title of Miss USA.
What receipts? Never mind.
What's that?
No, I'm not going to care.
What did Miss America have?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Miss USA. It's a different kind of thing.
Okay. Let's, Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there, sir.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Hey, not much. Hey, I know where Rockwood's at. It's way up on Gleason in, 181st.
Okay, all right. I know that general area. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, dude, it's a crap hole. I just got back from LA not that long ago.
Yeah.
And check it out, I was living in, a crappy part of town over there. And so I was looking over there for, a cheap spot to live, and I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not living out here. I was out there, bro, and, there was busted glass all over the sidewalk, and, I'm cool with that. There were shady people. All the people, guys wearing hairnets and stuff like that.
Snapping their fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what's up, man? Asking me questions.
Busting into four-part harmony on the corner. Totally.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to move to a better spot. I'm going to move to 82nd,
What a sad thing to say. All right, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Kristen's noting, and the girls have Sharpie eyebrows. Okay, that's Nick. Yeah, totally, rolling drunks and hustling hoods outside the pool hall.
Son will slip you a Mickey if you're not careful.
Totally. Let's do one more here. This is Ron. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, I'm calling in defense of Southeast. I'd much rather be there than 82nd. And at least, on Southeast, I don't have a bum on every stinking sidewalk wanting my money.
Well, 82nd is in Southeast.
Yeah, but 82nd, down there is where it starts getting scary. You get down to 82nd, and then you get down around Flavel and everything, and that's where you got your felony flat.
People talk about Flavel all the time, but I've never seen anything particularly horrific about that street. That gets mentioned all the time as an epicenter, it's a hellmouth or something. And I've never really seen anything all that terrible about it. Maybe I'm just there on the wrong days. Maybe I've been there when it's daylight.
Yeah, nighttime it gets a little spooky down there.
All right.
But, out 136th and Powell, I frequent the Palace. And it's one of the best damn strip clubs in town.
Did we go to the Palace, or was that... No, that was the Viewpoint that we did a long time ago.
Oh, Viewpoint, yeah, that's real iffy. That all depends on who's owning it.
Does it bother you that you have this much knowledge of the shifts of various strip clubs, sir?
What's that?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it. You call us anytime.
Okay.
He sounds unconvinced about the whole thing. He sounds very unsure. I don't think we'll be hearing from Jason again. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Lindsay Lohan celebrated the advent of Monday night by hitting up three fiestas in a single evening. An astonishing feat of feats for the rehab party princess. Her first stop was a celebration at the premiere of Showtime's The Tudors at Le Deux, where she was photographed getting close to fellow rehabber Robbie Williams. She then traveled with a few girlfriends to a new celebrity hotspot, Winston's, before taking off and heading to a private house party in Pacific Palisades.
You know, Robbie Williams, I'm sorry, I had something in my teeth. Robbie Williams, why is it that all, well, I was going to say, why do all addicts flock to each other? But of course, I know what that is. Robbie Williams does seem like the single worst person on earth that you could, the single worst person who's not Tommy Lee that you could possibly hang out with.
Why is he in Hollywood?
I don't know.
He has no career here.
No one here even knows who he is. I think Tim and I constitute the entire fan base of Robbie Williams in the United States, or at least people who know who he is. If you are a Jeremy Piven fan, because he was rumored to be getting it on with Lindsay Lohan at a certain point, you ought to pick up this month's Playboy, which is the one with Mariah Carey on the cover. There's a great, long, in-depth interview with Jeremy Piven where he kind of puts the whole Lindsay Lohan thing to, kind of puts it all to bed, as they say. So, there's a great interview with him where he talks about how that whole rumor got started and blah, 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 blah. All right.
We don't get Playboy anymore. They used to send it as a public service to Dave Paul.
Yeah, Dave Paul.
They would send it to Dave Paul and then he would go, Rick, I got a public.
I wonder if they send it to him at that Christian station where he's.
It's very possible because it comes in like a plain, not a plain brown wrapper, but a plain manila envelope. And it doesn't say Playboy, it says PEI. It says Playboy Enterprises International up front. PEI.
And so if you don't, which is even more dangerous, it doesn't have a bunny on it or anything, which is more dangerous because it could be opened at the front by some
children,
you know, some skirt, you know, and then you got the, and then HR comes and kicks you in the head. So, or children, yes. Yeah, you know, you don't know what it is. You're sitting there at your desk and you open it and some, you know, some tight ass coworker walks by and the next thing you know, you're having to write on the blackboard after school. Yeah, exactly. All right, 503-733-2970. Every salesperson who has any client anywhere near anywhere we are mentioning at all today is calling to make it known that their clients are fantastic people.
Yes, they are.
You know what? You're just mentioning that place on 23rd because you want a free meal.
It isn't that. I eat on that street at other establishments, and I don't want my food poisoned the next time I'm dining there, to be very perfectly honest with you. You may be having a good time, but you don't eat there.
No, to be fair, I do. It's not typically my choice, but my wife does take me to that part of town pretty frequently.
When you've been good.
When I'm well or bad, depending. When she feels I need to be punished. When she feels I need to be punished, suddenly it's a trip to Northwest. Sarah and I both live, in the heart of Southeast, so I have no problem with it at all, sir. I'm simply passing along my observations and those of the audience. Let's see. Rick, I was a probation officer in the Flavel area. Let's see.
Like Flavel Flav?
Yes, it's exactly like that. It is the worst example of human existence in the Tri-County area. Ass clowns and tweakers everywhere. That is, I'm sorry, ass clowns and tweakers in abundance. That's a listener party name. Ass clowns and tweakers in abundance. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
People from outer space are visiting Portland today. Two NASA astronauts, Mark Polansky and Robert Kerbein Jr. are at the Governor Hotel posing for pictures of young fans, answering out-of-this-world questions. One boy asked one of the astronauts what his favorite food to eat. The reply was ravioli. The astronauts are brought to town by the Rotary Club.
Is this story from 1960?
It's brand new.
Really?
I couldn't even name live ones anyway. Everyone knows the dead ones, but...
The Rotary Club and astronauts talking about space food.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sure it's in this century?
Yes, it's it came out today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're talking to kids about the educational path to becoming an astronaut.
Kids don't want to be astronauts anymore. No kid anywhere now grows up to be an
astronaut.
Tell
it to the Rotary Club.
I don't even know what the Rotary Club does.
They eat lunch and tell
ethnic jokes.
I went to one once, and there were people telling Polish jokes. I hadn't heard anyone telling Polish jokes since the 1970s. I didn't even know no new Polish jokes had come out.
They were just telling the hits, the gold Polish jokes. Okay, well, there you go. The Rotary Club.
All right.
Well, my general manager was taking me, wanting me to become part of it.
Rotary Club to fit in.
They were passing this big vat of casserole around.
Were you told that you had to be... Were you told that that was the way to fast advancement at the radio station?
Being the news director, I was supposed to be part of the community.
The way to climb the ladder quickly, one word, Rotary. That's like my dad worked at a place one time where he was informed in no uncertain terms that unless he was a member of the local Moose Lodge, his career was going nowhere. And so
that is small town American life.
That's exactly the way it was in Kennewick. So he had to join the Moose Lodge to really climb that Kennewick ladder.
Earl said, "Phone will never ring."
The phone never rings anyway. Who are we kidding? We're deluding ourselves.
Maybe we had to join the Moose Club.
Is the Moose Club even around here? There's an Eagles Lodge. I know that.
There's that one on 50th and Hawthorne.
50th and Hawthorne.
Last time I've seen those, they were all over Bremerson.
There is one over by Tannisborn, but it's an old sign. I don't even know if it still exists.
The great thing about all of those old fraternal organizations, Moose Lodge, Eagles Lodge, those are the two big ones. The Elks, I guess.
The one activity they had, that was just burying members. They're dying like flies every week.
This weekend's embalming and Matt's wake.
Pretty much.
Followed by beer.
The ceiling's all yellow from cigarette smoke and old Reader's Digest from 1963.
Exactly.
Who could have a better time? Chairs with cigarette burns in them.
They put the fucking funeral.
It's like a ceremonial sash behind glass. It's like, there's nobody wearing this stuff anymore.
And everybody in the members' photos looks like Tom Bosley with huge sideburns.
Yeah.
God. The,
we're going to run over children with our Christmas floats. Who would like to help build it?
It's totally true. The last time I was in an Eagles Lodge was about 6 months ago.
Anyone have a lucky strike I can ball up? I know.
No, I'm sure they do plenty good in the community.
Well, then we'll go hit the VFW.
Have ourselves a cool one. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying now. I don't even know. I was about 6 months ago, I was at that Eagles Lodge on 50th and Hawthorne because there was a record swap there. And it's exactly like that, just as you described. This is 2007. And so I go in there and there's, a bunch of dudes selling records or whatever, but they're just like in this sort of main little tiny ballroom area. Bad Peeling for Micah.
Big empty rooms.
So big empty rooms, diamond tufted leatherette bar. And then those beer glasses that they have at all of those fraternal organizations that are sort of the old 70s hourglass-shaped beer glasses that narrow down towards the bottom.
Pictures of people.
And they're all lots of yellowed curled at the edge of newspaper clippings about events that happened 50 years ago. It's all tacked up behind the bar with a lot of with a lot of Andy Capp cartoons that someone found hilarious and had to cut out and tape up next to the cash register. The cash register, which is itself then covered with that weird yellowed crackly plastic cover that goes over the plastic buttons. God damn, those places are all the same, and it just makes you want to kill yourself. Just there for like 5 minutes, you're like, well, no wonder they did. That's why they never updated, too, because you go in there and you just immediately want to get blitzed. Good God. All right.
Yes, astronauts are important.
Bring the kids to see them. Don't forget to help the retarded.
Mm.
We should take a break. We'll come back. We have Steve Kastenbaum, Rachel McGrath. Later on, top five, Dennis Pitzenbacher, all that. 503-733-2970. Plus, believe it or not, lots of comments about Rockwood and Robbie Williams. I never, ever thought I would see those things back-to-back on the talk radio screen. Yeah, there they are. Don't go anywhere. We return to this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.